My youngest, he's always asking, Mom, when can I go bow hunting with you? And I was like, I haven't been bow hunting yet. And you just see her almost wanting to be in tears because she was so excited for me. And I just start laughing my ass off. It sounds kind of scary, but it's probably the most calmest moment for me. And that's when I knew, I was like, I know I can do this. Basically, whenever you have all that hard work come down to that point, it's like you're getting connected with nature. And I feel like that's when kind of things just happen. Hi, this is Brittany Prosser, and you're listening to The Wild Initiative.
Put down your latte and pull on your boots.
I've been blessed to harvest 22 of the 29 North American animals with my bow.
My personal 24-hour record for death threats is 88.
They will start putting two and two together and realize this is how you call bulls in.
So when I go hunting now, that's the ethos I take with me. You know, whatever this hunter's going to throw at you, you pull your big girl pants up and you get on with it.
Giant bucks are freaking awesome. They're beautiful. But you know what? I would not trade this first buck for anything in the world.
So I'm a geek. Magicians and dragons and magic swords. I kid you not, man. I'm the biggest dork in the gun business.
I'm Freddie Hartice, Hollywood Hunter.
This is Aaron Snyder.
Hey, this is Trevin Stoltzfus with Outback Outdoors.
This is Rihanna Carey.
Hi, this is John Sloan of the Interviews with the Hunting Masters.
You're listening to The Wild Initiative.
Hey, y'all, welcome to another episode of The Wild Initiative, brought to you as part of the Waypoint Podcast Network.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
All right, y'all. So today's podcast has been a long time in the coming. I am super excited to have my good friend and honestly, one of probably my longest term supporters with the Wild Initiative and originally Living Country in the City. I'm very excited to have my good friend Brittany Prosser on. Brittany, I'm so glad we're finally getting to do this.
Yes, I'm actually pretty excited too.
And I know you're a little bit, we were talking earlier, you're a little bit nervous about coming on. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited to hear about your story. But I want to start out with just a little bit about you and really, where did you kind of find your excitement and inspiration for getting out and going hunting? What started all of this?
Oh boy, that's a really good question. Well, I've always had a love for the outdoors ever since I was a kid and growing up. So backstory real quick. I didn't grow up with siblings or anything like that, maybe some step siblings and whatnot, but I would stay at my aunt's house a lot and she had six boys. So I got roughed up pretty good when I was younger. And they're definitely more like brothers to me and stuff. But we were always like exploring and like jumping out the top window at night and like making these tunnels through these like the sticker bushes all the way down to the pond and catching frogs in the middle of the night. Like, so I've just always kind of had like that sense of adventure, I suppose. But as I got older, I enjoyed going camping and hiking and all that kind of stuff. And I got really into hiking for a while and just being out in it all. And my friend Melissa, I call her my summit sister. We have a couple other big hikes coming up soon. So I'm really, really excited for that. And it's actually kind of funny. A lot of hunters that I talk to, they're like, why would you go hiking and not actually do anything? You know, because they only hike to hunt kind of thing, you know? So it kind of cracks me up a little bit. Yeah. I don't know. I think at that time, I think it was on Facebook of all fucking places. Oh, sorry. I don't know. Can I cuss on here?
Yeah, okay. It's fine.
Okay. Sorry. And I just remember like all these, like negative things about hunting kept popping up on my Facebook feed. And, you know, I actually almost went vegan at that time because of how bad that was for me. And, then I just really started doing a lot of different research and things like that. And I ended up stumbling across Cameron Haynes and Joe Rogan and stuff, obviously, and just hearing their side of hunting and what it means. And I just kind of felt like deep down in my core, that's like who I am. And doing some research, and I like bought hunting books and all sorts of stuff. And one day I was cleaning my cousin's house and he mentioned that his brother was going to be taking him hunting. And I was like, can I go? he's like, yeah, but you can't get a tag or anything. It's way too late. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I want to go. So made that plan for my first hunting trip. I didn't have a tag or my gun or anything. And I just went for the experience and wanted to learn. And that's kind of how it really all snowballed into everything else.
So how long ago was this, the first hunt?
I was trying to calculate that. I think it was 5 years ago. So yeah, that was pretty awesome. That was when I got to skin my first deer. So that was actually really cool. And there's actually a story behind that too. I was just so into it while it was hanging and stuff. And my uncle, we call him Hippie. And I don't know if you saw those pictures, our hunting group pictures. He's like super old man, like long gray beard, long gray hair. He's like this old school, like mountain man. And but he always gives people nicknames. And we were sitting there and skinning this thing. And I was like, how come I haven't gotten a nickname yet? And he's like, well, I'll just call you Slowpoke, because I was going so slow, just because I was like enjoying the learning process.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, fine, whatever. And I start like going faster. And my cousin comes up and wanted to get on one of the legs. And I turn the knife around to do the hook side. And I start yanking down, and I was in a hurry. And I have a scar on my hand right there. It just went right into my hand, and I was like, oh crap. So we all go inside and they take care of me and whatever. And my uncle's like, well, now you got your nickname. Now I can call you Crip. And I was like, does that mean, cause I'm bleeding? Like, I thought he meant like Crips and blood for some reason. And my cousin just starts busting up laughing. And he's like, no, because you're fucking Cripple. So they forever call me Crip now.
So it sounds like then we started really getting into hunting right around the same time then.
Yeah.
So that was your kind of first experience. What were your steps after that? So you kind of went out, you had this first experience with your family. Mm-hmm. What were your steps after that to keep learning and keep getting involved?
It was extremely motivating, and to read so much about it previously and then to do more of like the hands-on stuff, you can read for days, but it doesn't compare to like the actual experiences that you experience out there. So I started wanting to work out even more. Like, my stamina out there was really awful that year, because we were walking around a lot. And yeah, just anything I could learn, try and follow more people on Instagram, just kind of getting and kind of weeding through some of like the, I want to say like over glorified parts of hunting and stuff like that as a newbie can be pretty eye appealing and whatnot. But in the end, it's, you know, like the true hunters out there that are really down to earth and really have a good head on their shoulders is kind of who I like to follow.
Well, and I feel like you've built a pretty good community of friends around you. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's kind of similar to what I did. I'm like, well, I don't know anybody that does this. And so yeah. I want to kind of, if I'm going to learn from people and build this community, I want to find really smart people. Who are some of the people that have inspired you and you've kind of tried to gather around yourself?
It's so hard because like there's so many good hunters out there.
This is your Oscar speech right now, and you got to make sure you thank the director and
yeah, there's and too many the people other, to
your,
thank.
Your co-stars
really.
And all.
Yeah. Oh goodness. I want to say, I mean, it started off with Ava Shockey, but
in fairness, she's kind of one of piqued my interest in hunting as well, but probably for completely different reasons.
I mean, speaking Sam,
any red-blooded American boy. I mean, come
she,
on.
She's definitely a hot lady.
This was back when she was single.
Well, I mean, she's still hot, even though she's
yes,
taken.
Absolutely.
You know, but.
Sorry.
That cracks me up. I don't know. It's hard because like I tend to draw towards a lot of like the female side of stuff because for me personally, as at least in the beginning, a new female hunter, you know, granted a lot of the men were really good to look up to as well. Like I still absolutely adore Brian Call and Ryan and, you know, Steven Rinella is fucking phenomenal. Like I absolutely love that guy. But as for women and even ones that aren't, I guess fully in like the hunting spotlight, I suppose my great friend, Laura, you know, Laura, I fucking love her. She's an amazing, amazing person and mom. So that's another thing too, that I kind of draw towards are women out in the wild that also have family to take care of too. And I just feel like I can relate to that a lot. So it's easier to follow, I guess, and make those connections. So yeah. Or even Jess. I really enjoy following Jess too. Which is kind of how we officially met.
was that how you kind of found my account and my stuff? Was it after my podcast with Jess or when I went out to Texas or?
So I'm not really sure how I stumbled upon your podcast. I can't remember. It was probably just like a mod podge of things, but I just remember Jess making a post because she was doing some sort of traveling and she's like, hey, I need some podcast ideas to listen to. And I brought up your podcast.
Oh, that's right. I remember that post.
Yeah. And then she ended up, I think, tagging you in it and being like, yeah, I was on one of his podcasts. I was like, oh, I feel like an idiot.
Well, there's that. And I remember, I mean, a lot more recently, you know, you've been responsible for a few guests I've had on the podcast.
Yeah.
I know. I remember you had reached out and you're like, you have to talk to this girl, Laura Zara. And I was like, okay, I'm going to write it down. And I didn't write it down. And I completely like it just forgot. And I was on, I can't remember who I had on, but I had him on the podcast and I was going through their Instagram pulling pictures and Laura popped up and I was like, that's the person that Brittany told me about. Holy crap. And so I reached out and Laura and I consider Laura a friend now and, and talk about badass women.
Dude. Yeah. Hashtag goals for me. I want to be like Laura.
I mean, I do. I love Laura. She's not quite right though. I will give her that. And she'll be the first one to say that anyone, I would say this about anyone that like crawls into bear dens and just disappears out into the woods like she does can't be quite right. And I say that with the utmost love for Laura.
of course she'll take that as a huge compliment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you went on your first hunt. What are maybe some highlights since then and maybe some learnings kind of along the way as you've been figuring this out?
Oh man, definitely, regardless if you're hiking or hunting, the mountain will freaking humble you for sure. Like every time.
The mountain always wins.
Oh, every time. I always, like the second, I think it was the second season of Elk that I did. Was it that? I don't know. They kind of start blending together after a little while, but I had an elk in my sights and I was so nervous at that point, but like, I can't even explain like exactly how I felt, but I was excited because there was two of them down there, down this embankment or whatever. And I was trying to get my cousin's attention. And because I was getting his attention, it drawed attention of me. And so the elk were just like staring at me. And he's like, well, like, what are you doing? Like, get your gun up. I took too long, but it still stayed, like the elk still stood there. But by the time I was ready to squeeze the trigger, it like just slowly walked forward enough to where a tree was hiding it for an ethical shot. So I had to let that one go. And that was, like I said, kind of a humbling experience. I thought I was going to be ready that year. And yeah, there's a lot that goes into hunting in general. and I keep learning every year. So that was one highlight.
Well, I mean, it's one of those funny things where I think every year I get that feeling where I go in, I'm like, man, I screwed up so bad this last year. But you know what? I learned from it. Like this year, I'm ready. And it's like, yeah, you may be more ready, but at least for myself, I'm like, no, I'll guarantee you'd find a way to screw up in a completely different fashion.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not always to the point where you don't take home an animal, but it's, I create ample learning opportunities for myself.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That was a big thing too. Well, and having an animal in my sights for the first time, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about that, because even though all the stuff that I learned and doing the hands-on stuff and going about things as best I can in that single moment, you're never sure if you're going to be ready for that or not. And it, as nervous as I was, anyone close to me knows I shake a lot in general. And so being nervous with a gun in my hand, it sounds kind of scary, but it's probably the most calmest moment for me. And that's when I knew, I was like, I know I can do this. So yeah. So I kept going with it.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
It's a weird moment, because I remember wondering that myself. Like, I've prepared for this for, you know, for months and months and months, and I've trained and I've studied, and I'm like, I think I'll be fine. But then you kind of start overanalyzing. You're like, am I going to totally choke? Like, am I not going to be able to pull the trigger I mean, no qualms about it. This is a living creature you're about to kill.
Yeah.
That's a big fucking deal.
It's huge. Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know if, and I remember when it finally happened, like the first time I drew on an animal and took a shot, and then, you know, that whole process, it was all of that prep was what took over. And it was full on. I remember, you know, it's full on buck fever or a hog fever or, you know, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. But it was definitely, you know, everything else disappeared. It was just taking that next shot, you know, and
yeah,
all of the philosophy around it doesn't mean shit when you're about to pull that trigger.
Yep. Exactly. That is exactly how I felt.
So what ended up being the first animal that you actually took?
Just this year. So
this was, I couldn't remember if you had gotten some before this. So this is, I am really excited to hear this story, because when I saw you make that post, I got so excited for you, Brittany.
I was pretty stoked.
So it's been, you know, 5 years, you've been out several times, two or three times with Laura.
Yeah, this was the third season for Spring Bear. Yeah. And that was another cool thing too, is that that was one of my goals, especially watching all these other hunters on Instagram. Like, they get to go to Montana or different states and stuff. I was like, I want to at least hunt in a different state. And at the time when I first met Laura, which is also funny because I met her on Instagram as well. Actually, I'm wearing her jewelry that she made for me. But yeah, it was just nice to be able to connect with her and stuff. But she lived in Washington, I believe, at the time. So really close to Idaho. We had to drive an hour into Idaho in order to go to the bait spot over there the first season. The second season I was with her, we went to Hell's Canyon. And it was just me, her, and her mom. And we camped out for 5 days and literally just killed ourselves on fucking Hell's Canyon.
I've heard I've never actually been into Hell's Canyon, but I've heard it is aptly named. Yes,
but it's also stunning. Like,
really?
I want to go back so bad. Yeah, we had such a blast last year. Definitely saw some bear last year, but oh gosh, I don't know if Laura wants me to tell that story. Well, I guess she posted it, I think. Can I tell that story first before this season?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this just like encompasses like how hard you work and then like something weird randomly happens. So we're glassing on top of this ridge and we're glassing down, and it was getting later in the day, and we're like, okay, we only have a certain amount of time before we have to go back to camp and stuff. And so we're just like hoping, and I think it was my last day there because the next day was Mother's Day and I had to drive from Idaho all the way back home. So she said it was a bear. She's like, "Brit, grab your pack. Let's fucking go." And I'm like, "All right, all right, all right." So we just start literally just hauling ass down this fucking ridge, really fucking far, all the way until you can't fucking go anymore. And we get down by this kind of like dried out creek bed, and there's like all these big old bushes and stuff. And you see the bushes moving and stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is it. You know, like, I'm going to get a fucking bear in fucking Hell's Canyon. This is going to be amazing. So we get the rifle all set up and everything. And as I'm like trying to find it in the scope, she's still glassing. She's like, hold on, hold on. And I'm like, okay. She's like, fuck, it's a fucking moose. And you just see her almost like almost wanting to be in tears because she was so excited for me. And like, I just start laughing my ass off, but obviously quietly still. And I'm like, at least I got to see a moose. Like, that's freaking cool. But to go all the way down that ridge was just
Well, funny enough, and what's actually funny enough is I just posted the video of this, reposted the video of this on TikTok this morning. But I was out fishing up in the Tobacco Roots. It was like a random Tuesday afternoon and I was just stressed out. I'm like, screw this. I closed the laptop, packed up all my crap, just threw it in the truck, grabbed the dogs and just drove out into the mountains, found a lake and crashed out for the night and fly fished that morning. Well, I'm setting up my rod and I got the dogs just kind of wandering around at the foot of the truck, and I'm sitting on the tail and I'm doing stuff. And I look up and all I see is this big blackish brown rump moving through the bushes. And I'm like, great. My pistol and bear spray are actually in the cab of the truck. My dogs, I'm not worried about myself, but my dogs are like wandering around. And so I'm trying to get them. And I'm like, great, there's a bear. No. And I'm like, and then there's also the part of me that like, this thing's like 75 yards away and I want to film the damn thing too. I'm like, like, I'm having all of these conflicting feelings about what I need to do next. And then pops out a moose, same thing. So
Cause in those, cause in the big old bushes and stuff, that's all she could see was like the back half and from far away, you know, and you're glassing,
yeah.
You know, it definitely looks possibly like a bear. So yeah, that was pretty funny.
So suffice to say, you've had two seasons of a lot of hard work and some excitement, but no success when it comes to filling tags. And then,
yes,
then we come to this last spring season.
Yes. Me and Laura, we always stay in contact and stuff like that, even not during hunting season. her and her husband and her kids, like, I can't say enough good things about them and how amazing they are. Just so down to earth, big hearted people. And I freaking love her kids. They're so freaking hilarious. I actually got to spend some time with her kids this trip, so that was a lot of fun. Yeah, so she was sending me some trail cam pictures and things like that, the different bears that were coming into the bait spots, and which was super helpful because for me, like, knowing sort of what's down there was really nice for me to visually see that. And I was just like, nope, this is my fucking year. I'm getting my bear. This will be my first tag filled. Like, I'm ready. And I think putting it out there too, at first I felt kind of cocky because I'm not like a like, oh, I'm, you know, I don't know. But I was like, no, I'm getting my bear. I'm definitely doing it this year. And I drive all the way to Idaho. You know how long it takes to get through all that. I think it's like 8.5 hours to drive there. But I settle into her house and we go sight in my gun and just kind of have fun with the kids and stuff that first day. I didn't sleep like at all that night. I don't know if it was nerves or just the whole drive and being extremely like overly tired where I couldn't sleep, and wake up at the butt crack of dawn the next day and, you know, get all our gear on, get our backpacks ready. And we head out to the spot and hike in and get all situated. And I'm like dog freaking tired still at that point. And so I end up like setting my rifle up because it was raining. So I didn't want the rain to get in my scope. So I couldn't like set it next to the tree or anything. And I have it like leaning up against me and I'm leaning up against the tree and I just start trying to take a nap, which Laura has like a short video of that. So yeah, so I took a short nap, but we sat there for probably a good 3 hours before a bear came in. And it was crazy because, I mean, I didn't know a whole lot about bear until I started bear hunting and stuff, which is also something I really enjoy about hunting, is that it's, you're constantly learning about different animals and their environment and just all the things that help you also have more respect for that animal too. So we're sitting there and pretty soon the bear comes in and both of us like sit up and she gets her camera ready and this bear just comes in and sits down right on its butt and she's recording and I have my sights on him and I was like, hey, you ready? And she's like, ready whenever you are. And I squeezed the trigger, got him, and he kind of bolted off to the left and we kind of rejoiced for just a second because we didn't want to be overly excited yet, but we were just, you know, that excitement of like, this fucking happened. Like, yes, like all this work is just finally coming together for this one moment. And once again, that was like the most calmest I've ever been. And so we trekked down and, you know, bears don't bleed a lot. So it's not like you can have a blood trail or anything to follow. So, and everything right now over in Idaho, it's been raining nonstop. So like everything is still green and like overgrown. It's not dry and brown yet. And so it took us a minute to try and find him, but we were searching and whatnot. And pretty soon we heard the death moan. And that's when we could pinpoint him a bit better and come up on like on top of him just in case. And then just go about it that way. But yeah, that was my first time hearing the death moan too. And that is the most craziest freaking thing ever. And we get down to it and I move him around a little bit and try and take a good look at him and stuff. And like, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel in those moments of like me taking a life, you know? So I definitely, like, even now, like, I want to cry a little bit, like, but it's not like a bad cry. It's a thankful cry. You know, I definitely had like a good moment with the bear and we kind of, you know, did the posing and pictures and stuff and learning how to skin and dismember, I suppose. The bear is so different than elk and on the ground instead of hanging up is like, it's the weirdest process, but yeah.
I am kind of laughing a little bit at dismember.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's another thing too.
You're quartering it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm quartering it.
I might start having to use Dismember though. It just sounds so good.
Well, I kind of like hesitate. I'm like, Dismember is not the word I want to use. But it sounds freaking awful.
It's too good though.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So it was quite the experience. And also Laura had the kids and stuff, not with us, but so she was only, had a limited time to actually hunt with me while I was there.
Okay.
And I told her, I was like, nope, I'm getting the bear the first day. And then that way we can just like relax and have fun with the kids the rest of the time there. And I was like, you have to be there. Cause if you're not there, like this wouldn't be what it has been, I guess, yeah, for this long, you know? And so
she has as much invested in you getting that bear as you do, kind of.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I couldn't thank her and her family more. I mean, all the effort they put into the bait spots and stuff, because it's not like I can travel to Idaho to go bait a spot and then drive back to Oregon. know? So yeah, all that effort and stuff and support. And yeah, I'm extremely grateful for sure.
I remember that feeling to where you get that first animal and whatever it is, you know, for me, it was my muley, but it's like you're so many people other than you are succeeding at that point when you've had so many people invest time and energy and information into you. Yeah. It just adds to that fulfillment of all of that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really, with all the information that I get from other people or knowledge, just talking to other friends and stuff. And I mean, it could be about rifles, it could be about hunting, it could be about just the wilderness in general. I really couldn't have done it without everybody. So I'm super grateful.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
And so then, not only do you harvest your first bear, then you just kind of have to show off a little bit and you bring a friend out with you after that, right?
Yeah, the very next day, actually. And it's crazy because I don't know like where to go in Idaho, you know, like I don't live there. I don't know a lot of places or anything like that. And so for me to navigate and get to us to that spot and then help my friend get that bear for his bear. So it's like two bears in 2 days. It was just like phenomenal for me because that was also a very cool experience too, to be able to be there when someone else gets their bear.
So was that also over a bait spot or was that a spot and stalk?
Bait spot.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool. That's super exciting. And so what, you know, have you had any of the bear yet? Have you got it processed?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Summer sausage and pepperoni right now. So, and it's really good. That's another thing too, is I hadn't tried bear before. And so, yeah, the summer sausage is freaking delicious. I love it. So.
That's one of those things, you know, I mean, I'm sure you follow Ryan and Brian as well. And I think from what I've talked, my time's talking with Ryan, I think, you know, you'd be hard pressed, to have him give up bear meat for just about anything. Yeah. And so many people, you probably know how it is. That's the biggest criticism everyone has of when you're bear hunting or any sort of predator hunting. It's like, oh, are you going to go eat it? Damn straight, I'm going to eat it. That's some good meat.
Exactly. Well, and I wasn't sure how it was going to taste either, because like I said, I hadn't tried it before, but I was like, well, no, if I'm harvesting something, I'm going to eat it. Like that's just my perspective on it and how I go about that. But yeah, and it's such a big difference hunting non-predator to predator, like racking an extra bullet in my chamber just in case it has some sort of excitement or extra whatever they have there. But
well, it's always a little butt puckering to track a bear that, you know, that you can't see.
Yeah. And they're so freaking quiet too, you know, like they could be 20 yards from me in some thick brush and you have no freaking idea unless they make some sort of noise or.
Well, when it's all greened up like that too, you don't have them crunching around, you know, mm-hmm. there's a lot more. There's a lot more brush hiding them. And if you got to get into something tight, you know, it's surprise.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
As a mom, what do the kids think of all of this? Have they tried any of the summer sausage, the pepperoni, any of that?
Yes. My oldest ended up not liking it, surprisingly, because he likes pretty much everything. My youngest, he's like, oh yeah, cool. Like, he's just eating away at it. So, the boys, I think they enjoy that I go hunting. My oldest, he wants to try and go hunting. So I'm also trying to start him in that process and just do some beginner stuff and whatnot. My youngest, he's always asking, Mom, when can I go bow hunting with you? And I was like, I haven't been bow hunting yet, but, you know, like I got him like one of those little kid bows and stuff. And mm-hmm. so he's just like, yeah, I'm ready. And I'm like, you're six. I was like, I can't take you hunting right now. But for them to be that excited. And I'm just happy I'm able to bring in different types of meat and stuff like that for them to try. And like when I did, I don't know if you remember when I did the beaver tail.
I don't think... I either didn't catch it or I don't remember it. So let's hear all about that.
Oh, okay. So I was interested in beaver tail because of Steven Rinella, and he had, I don't know if it was on like his show or maybe podcast. I don't know. So I have a buddy of mine that does trapping and all that kind of stuff. And so I get lots of stuff from them sometimes too. Mm-hmm. And so he got me his big old beaver tail and I was like, all right, cool. We're going to try to boil it and eat it and all that kind of stuff. And like I tried I guess like skinning it, but it was like a disaster trying to skin that thing. I did okay for my first time doing that, but yeah, and boiling it and then having me and my oldest try it, it was actually really good. It just kind of like melts in your mouth. There's not really any flavor to it. So it was cool to like dip it in like melted butter and like all sorts of stuff. And yeah, I have it on my Instagram somewhere. But
I'll have to dig through and find that one. I don't remember that, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's one of the things, you know, you probably saw, I've been doing some trapping here on the property.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, you've known me long enough. You know, I'm like, if it has to do with the outdoors or hunting or fishing or anything to do with it, I want to give it a try. Yeah. And so, you know, I had this opportunity to try trapping and I found some success with it. And like the porcupine.
One of those things. Hey, you got a porcupine.
I've heard it's great. Again, Ryan Lampers swears up and down by porcupine. That's like their Christmas dinner every year. And so I'm like, well, I got this big old porcupine and he was beefy. He was a large porcupine. There's a lot of meat on that sucker. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to try crock potting it. And holy crap. That was oh my gosh. It is so good. Like I swear I would be hard pressed to say there's a meat I like more than that porcupine. And it is so fatty. It's similar to bear where it's just really, really fatty. I don't think it's quite as greasy of a fat as bear is, it is just, so I crock potted it and I save all of the, basically after I pull the meat out, all of that kind of juice that's left in the crock pot, I save it, put it in the freezer and then reuse it next time I'm going to crock pot something.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's something I learned from Hank Shaw when I did a podcast with him. It's called Master Stock. And I you can do it a bunch of different ways and separate out, I guess, the meat types. I just basically just keep reusing it with everything I do. But there was like, I fill up, a couple of jars full of this master stock after the fact. And after it settles, there's probably like an inch and a half, like layer of just fat floating on the top from after doing the porcupine. And it just makes everything now. So whether I do chicken or venison or whatever it is, anything I put in there is just so rich and fatty when it comes out and it's so good.
That's awesome. I love reusing stuff like that too.
That's like my favorite thing. That is, I got to give Hangshaw credit for teaching me that. That master stock is like just a brilliant idea. So rather than just using new chicken stock or new beef stock or whatever it is, every time you're making something, mm-hmm. reusing that, and it has all the nutrients from the meat prior to that. It has all of the nutrients from the veggies and stuff that have kind of been broken down. You obviously strain it out so you don't have chunks of onion and tomato floating in it, but yeah. No, it's amazing. I'm rambling about it, but I love it.
I would love to try that. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's the funny thing is like, it keeps growing from mm-hmm. all of the, everything you put in there. So I started, I had like one large jar. Mm-hmm. Now I've got like two large jars and like three pickle jars full of master stock, and it just more and more and more. I'm probably going to have to stop filling it up after a certain point. The freezer's getting a little full.
Yeah.
But that's awesome that, the kids are finding some interest in it, that they're both interested in actually going out hunting. And mm-hmm. how old's your oldest again?
He's 14.
He's 14. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the age in Oregon for him to be able to get like a youth license or?
I think he's of age already. I had already set him up with a online stuff or whatever for Oregon fishing wildlife, but I only got him like his crabbing and fishing type stuff on there,
Okay.
We haven't really full blown gone into the whole hunting thing, because I still want to take him out and work with him more on rifle and handguns and stuff like that too. And I have a buddy of mine that older gentleman. I have too many guy friends that are named Mike, and so I have to call them all by like their last names. So Odom is his last name. And he super knowledgeable about all sorts of different weapons and stuff like that. So yeah, we're always trying to go out shooting with him and his buddies, because they have like some really fun stuff to shoot. So yeah, I just definitely want to get him more used to working all that type of stuff. So
well, that is awesome. That's really exciting. And I'm looking forward to seeing him get into the woods and get excited. And the youngest.
Yeah.
Though yeah. He's probably not quite ready to be hiking through Hell's Canyon, is he?
No. No, I took them to the ape caves yesterday, introducing them to spelunking.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was only maybe like, I guess like a mile and a half total in the cave on the easy side. And my youngest already had to go to the bathroom like halfway through, and you can't go pee in the cave. Like, I'm like, oh gosh. So he was actually really good about a lot of stuff during that. But like by the end of it, he's like, oh, my legs are tired. I'm like, you wouldn't make it out in the woods. Like,
and you want to go ball hunting.
Yeah. I was like, I need to toughen this little boy up. So, but yeah, they love going on adventures and stuff. And I really enjoy showing them different things that the world has out there. So.
All right. So if somebody's getting into hunting, kind of like we did as an adult, and, or maybe they've even gotten into hunting and they're struggling over the years kind of to find that bit of success, what advice or encouragement would you give that person?
Just keep going. It could be super stressful. It could be kind of a downer when, like that one year I had the elk in my sights and I ended up basically freezing and not taking my shot. It really doesn't matter how much knowledge you gain. It's just really in that moment and who you are as a person. And I kind of feel like basically whenever you have all that hard work come down to that point, it's like you're getting connected with nature. And I feel like that's when kind of things just happen. Yeah, I guess just keep going. It's really, really it. Just stay humbled about it and stay strong.
All right. I also want you to give a little shout out for your wood burning.
Oh, yeah. I already forgot about that. Yeah. If you can go to my personal page on Instagram. I no longer have a Facebook. I got rid of it like months ago now. So yeah, just my personal page, Unbound Wanderer. I do have my wood burning Instagram page now, which is Unbound Wanderer Pyrography is how it's pronounced, I suppose. But yeah, I do lots of little wood burning items and big items, and I'm working on some other stuff too to get out there. So I'm really excited for a lot of stuff I'm working on. I did do a little sneak peek recently of some small earrings that I'm making, and I have a couple people I'm going to be collabing with too. So I'm pretty stoked about a lot of future stuff coming up.
Well, I'm definitely going to make sure to link to that on the show notes page, which everyone can check out at thewildinitiative.com. Brittany, cool. I'm so glad we finally got to record a podcast together.
Yeah, I know.
So it's been a long time coming. So happy for you on getting this bear. I mean, that's a big deal. Getting a bear as a first harvest, you know, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. Congratulations on that for sure.
Thank you so much. Can I give one more shout out?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Obviously to Laura. I just wanted to say thank you to her, and definitely I kind of want to support her business as well. I buy so much of her antler jewelry, not just in support, but because I just love her stuff, and I'm kind of hard on my jewelry too sometimes. So antler jewelry is like perfect for me. So definitely go check out her stuff at Western Sky Jewelry.
I will link to that as well on the page. Absolutely.
Okay. Awesome.
Well, thank you again so much for joining me. I had a great time chatting.
Thanks, Sam. It was nice to talk to you.
All right, y'all. That'll do it for this episode of The Wild Initiative. Make sure to check out the show notes page at thewildinitiative.com. Get links to everything we talked about in today's episode. Big thank you to Brittany for hopping on and for all her support through the years. Another huge congratulations to her on her first harvest and for taking a beautiful bear. Make sure you guys check out all of her socials and follow along. Give some support for her wood burning. Would love to see that grow. Also, y'all, make sure you take a few minutes to write a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. It's really huge for the podcast. I would appreciate that greatly. But y'all, that'll do it for this week. Looking forward to next time. But until then, I hope this episode inspired you to get involved, get outdoors, and plan your initiative for the wild.
Thank you for listening to The Wild Initiative. Please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher, and head on over to thewildinitiative.com to get show notes, check out the blog, gear discounts, other podcasts from the Wild Initiative family, and more.
Oh, can you hear me?
I think we lost your mic. Unless it's, oh my gosh, no, it's not your fault. My mute button's like way up here. Yeah. There, and my freaking fly must have landed on it or something.
When you go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know right here at Hawk's Cave.
Oh, that's awesome. Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping. Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors, from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.